WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for tuning in. This is 90.7 The Capstone. You're listening to the Student Section on Friday night. My name is Brady Grogan. I'm joined here with my two co-hosts, Jalen Brooks and Connor Rolls. How are you boys doing tonight?
I'm doing quite swell as always.
I'm doing good, man. You know, Halloween's right around the corner. I'm already spooked up. Oh, yeah.
Ready for Halloween weekend?
My costume's pretty fire.
What are you going as?
Cobra Kai.
Oh, really?
Strike first, strike hard.
Hey, I like
no mercy.
I'm just curious. How did you come up with that? Just the show? Big fan of the show?
Well, I love The Karate Kid, and when I broke my leg this summer, I was just chilling there. I was like, Cobra Kai would be pretty hard, so why not just pick it out?
When your leg was broken, were you wax on, wax off?
Ah, man, when my leg was broken, I was just, I feel like a lazy slob, so
I had to turn around by joining Cobra Kai. So last night, the Ravens took on the Buccaneers. The Ravens did end up winning 27-22. The Bucs continue to slide this season. Are you boys out on the Bucs this season yet?
I was never in.
You always had a concern for their success this year?
I did. It was because they lost a lot of their O-line during the training camp, so I knew something bad was going to happen during the season. And with Todd Bowles being their head coach, it just doesn't look good. Tom Brady, he chose his NFL career over his family, and it doesn't look like it's paying off right now.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate, but also
unfortunate loss.
I don't want to kick the man while he's down, but there's a lot going on from Tom Brady's side, and coming into the season, that's what we got. We heard a little bit of rumors of that, him dealing with some family issues. So I kind of also agree with Connor. I haven't really been fully bought in on the Bucs. It looks like they've still been trying to figure out some things since week one. They just look like it's not the same Bucs team. They don't look. I wouldn't be scared of the Bucs. Like, I think any team that they play in the playoffs, I would be cautious of them. But I think any team has a good chance of beating them.
I mean, that team, they have the worst run game in the league by far. They're averaging, I think it's 62 yards per game on the ground, which is 20 yards below the 30th worst team. So just to show that there's a big gap between them and like the other teams that are just bad at running the ball. The receivers, obviously, this year have not been. Everyone's seen the videos of Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. He's really just not making the same catches he used to be this season. I think a lot of it looks mental, because physically it seems like he's still the same player, but mentally he's just dropping catches that Mike Evans used to make.
Like that open one, wide open.
Wide open. No one around him. Just goes straight through his hands. And that's honestly a momentum catch right there, because it's so early in the game. Who knows if he catches that?
And shout out to the Panthers real quick. Like, good for you guys. But yeah, but also just Chris Godwin looks like he's like still trying to get it back together, coming off from the ACL injury.
The Julio Jones signing has been just non-existent for them. He's been hurt.
Atlanta saw this coming.
Atlanta knew that Julio Jones wasn't going to be able to stay healthy.
Yeah, they said, hey, we'll do you a favor. Here's your money, but just get out of here.
And Atlanta's honestly been better because of it.
Like, honestly, it worked out. They changed their offense into like Kyle Pitts, which we can get to another discussion later. They're not even using him right now, but you know, Drake London looks nice too. But
I mean, Atlanta is now sitting above the Buccaneers in the NFC South, just like put that into perspective.
It's crazy that the Panthers, that we said last week potentially had the number one pick, could still win the division.
They're like a game behind it. The Falcons are in first right now at 3-4, then the Bucs at 3-5, Panthers at 2-5. So it's just that division. Then the Saints are 2-5 too. That division is not very good, so the Panthers are still very much so in that division hunt.
Yeah, a couple years ago, you'd talk about how this was one of the best divisions in football, and man, it just
what happened
fell downhill real fast.
Yeah, I'm not like I said, Tom Brady. I think I know he said. Well, now he's saying he's not retiring at all.
I was gonna say, yeah, he's trying to change his perspective a little bit.
He needs to retire. It's done.
I think so too. I think he should have retired. I think he should have gone out on a high note. Hopefully, I'm not saying this probably isn't the end of Tom Brady. Apparently, by all speculations, he'll probably be back. But it looks like he's not. This is the most mentally stressed I've seen Tom Brady, and I don't think it's just because of football.
It's definitely his losing his family.
Yeah, and you can't trust them. I'm not trusting them for the rest of the season, but
I just don't think that there's a way this team can just turn this season around at this point. I think that the the coaching from this year compared to last year is definitely a big step down. As we said, the offensive line has obviously regressed due to injuries.
And what did you think of him yelling at his O-line? Did you, like, you saw Tom Brady?
I made that video, and that video was after he had, like, not shown up to practice, went right to that wedding, and then shows up to the game and then is just screaming at his injured O-line with, like, a bunch of guys who are being put in situations that they aren't really equipped to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's handling it, like, very well as the leader should.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like this is the first time where I've actually seen a public Tom Brady, like, yelling at his teammates on the sideline. And I think this is the first time where people are like, what is going on? Like, that's not the Tom Brady we know. Like, that's like, you don't lead by example that way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like the narrative has changed a little bit for when he's doing that. But also, to your guys' point, yeah, that O-line, like, they're trying their best. They're obviously trying their best. Tom Brady's not showing up to practice. I mean, you can only do so much.
Yeah, what I don't like about this media is, I mean, we all realize NFL players yell at each other. It's part of the game. It's all competitiveness. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Tom Brady's going through a lot. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes. So they're taking every chance they have to, like, video Tom Brady. If he makes one mistake, oh, is it because of his family? Is it because of this? It's like, come on. I mean, I get it's not a good look for him, but you can't make a story out of everything.
Exactly.
That is true. Yeah. I think we'll just pivot a little bit. So the other side, the Ravens were the ones who wins this game. Lamar Jackson has seemingly kind of turned the season around a little bit for the Ravens as they're back competitive in the division. They're now sitting in first place in the division ahead of the Bengals. And just moving forward in the AFC North, you see the Ravens or the Bengals coming out of that division?
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I actually like what the Ravens have been doing a little bit recently. Bengals, you also got to consider Jamar Chase being out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. That's a huge loss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's not forget that they just do have a strong wide receiver core with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. But I know the Ravens don't have better receivers. But, I mean, that's still a huge loss for them. But I still think the Ravens are going to get it done. And they just signed DeSean Jackson, who, I mean, it's not a huge signing, but at least he does give you a little bit more speed.
If he has some gas in the tank still, to give Lamar a deep shot.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least that's a little bit of something. But give me the Ravens.
Yeah, so I was going to go Bengals because I feel like Joe Burrow's getting his mojo back. But I'm looking at the upcoming schedule without Jamar Chase. And you got Panthers, which have put up some good fights, but I don't think Panthers won't do anything. Steelers worries me with their defense. Titans, they look like they're coming together, but then the Chiefs, no Jamar Chase, that's going to be tough. So I really don't want to say this, but I think the Ravens might win this division just because of Jamar Chase being out.
The Ravens definitely have a very, I'd say, easier schedule coming up. So they have the Saints, Panthers, Jaguars, Broncos, Steelers, Browns, Falcons, Steelers, and then Bengals for the last game of the season. So other than the Bengals, like, on that schedule, like, none of those other teams, I would say, are probably making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the Ravens just have to win the games they're supposed to win and kind of control their destiny. I would say they control their destiny moving forward. And if they can win the games they're supposed to win, I'd say that then they can take the division.
Yeah, and then another thing about the Ravens is we just also have to hope for them that they just don't get bit by the injury bug again. Because, like, I think J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins. Yes.
He's just got placed on IR. He's out for a little bit. They just got Gus Edwards back. He was coming off a ACL injury
last year.
I think he had like a hamstring pull in the game, exactly, too, Gus Edwards. So they're already struggling with the running back department.
Yeah, their trainers, they need a new training whole, like, staff.
A new training staff to come in there.
And then you lost Rashad Bateman, which shouldn't be that serious. And then Mark Andrews also got hurt a little bit. And apparently they're saying that's not that serious. But at the same time, that team is always getting injured, and so you wonder how many people are going to be healthy when later in the season the playoffs come around. So I don't know, but I'll still take the Ravens. I like the Ravens' chances better than the Bengals.
So coming into the season, the Ravens, one of their big controversies was Lamar Jackson's extension. And Lamar was obviously, he was representing himself in this debate. He wanted a larger, more guaranteed, larger contract than the Ravens were willing to put down before the season started. Lamar said that if they don't get it by a set date, he's not going to talk about it for the whole season. Lamar now is obviously, he's been playing pretty well this season so far.
Definitely an MVP conversation.
He's definitely in that conversation, I would say. And then by the end of the season, Lamar can kind of go where Lamar wants.
Yeah.
Do we think that the Ravens are going to get a contract with Lamar when the season ends?
I think they'll throw a contract out. I don't know if he'll accept it because I feel like it's you've done so much for this organization and you're still not ready to send out a contract even though they don't seem to put a lot of weapons around him. I think he's going to go to a place that values him a lot more than the Baltimore Ravens.
Here's my thing. I think the Ravens are going to make him an offer. And then, like you said, they're going to make him an offer. It's going to be a decent offer. Mm-hmm. But then because I don't think he's going to get the extension done. I think he's going to decline the extension and then accept a contract where it's going to be a bit bigger offer to like a different team like Miami or something.
Yeah, Miami, I think, would be a great place to see Lamar where they have lots of weapons for him.
And I'm pretty sure, isn't that his hometown?
It is.
So if they give you the bag and you're going to go play for your hometown team, and then you look around and you got Jalen Waddle,
Tyreek Hill.
And then you look at like pieces on their defense, like Xavier Howard, and then like
Byron Jones. People forget about that.
Like, and then you have other weapons, and then you have a coach in Mike McDaniels, who I'm a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know a lot of people want to discredit him for the whole Tua situation, but I don't think that was on him.
Yeah,
I don't think. Let's not. Come on now. Let's not put that on him. But although I agree, he should have maybe had a little bit more like accountability for when that took place. But hey, I mean, that is a situation you want to keep your eye on, especially if Tua doesn't like work out. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Tua is a good quarterback. I don't think he's good for Miami.
And also, if Miami has to choose between bringing Lamar Jackson in and then keeping Tua, I feel like the obvious choice is to bring Lamar Jackson if you have the opportunity to bring him in.
Bring in the MVP winner, yeah, for sure.
It's funny, I forgot to mention this, but last week we saw what the haters wanted to see, Mark Andrews line up as quarterback and Lamar single back at running back. It's just pretty funny how social media says Lamar's a running back, but finally got their wish.
That's like when you change Lamar to a wide receiver in Madden.
It's just a Madden playbook type of play.
But also, I have a question for you guys. This is like has nothing to do with the game, rather, but it's just a little. We were talking about it earlier. I just want to hear y'all's opinion. Do you think DeSean Jackson, the wide receiver that they brought in, who I think is now entering his, I want to say 15th or 16th season, or it's up there.
It's getting up there.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I want to say no, but if you look at his stats, I mean, we were saying he has the most. Like, I think it was like, 40 or 50 yards plus touchdowns in the NFL?
Right.
That's impressive. I mean, he's made a lot of Pro Bowls. He's been a lot of all pros. So there's a really great possibility he makes it. Not as a first ballot, but...
Definitely not as a first. I would say the first ballot's kind of off the table.
Yeah, no.
He's not a guy when you think of Hall of Fame, he's a first ballot. But I will say...
I think he can sneak in there,
but it's kind of like a down year in the Hall of Fame and the voting. Like, I feel like he could kind of like sneak his way in there. Because I think he's got like the resume.
Yeah.
If kids just like look at the highlight reels on YouTube, I'm sure DeSean Jackson has some of the most electric highlights.
With Prime Michael Vick, too. It's funny because... He finished in top five voting of Offensive Player of the Year 2010 when Michael Vick was the quarterback. He's had over five seasons with 1,000 yards receiving. But he's also the only player that has been selected to the Pro Bowler as a wide receiver and as a returner. So that's a pretty – and, like, that's another aspect of his game I don't think people will talk about. Like, that that aspect of his game, it wasn't just receiving, it was
miracle
special
in Meadowlands part two. Say,
exactly. It's also his special teams contribution, but I just wanted to ask you guys for your opinions. But
with the trade deadline coming up, speaking of DeSean Jackson, do you think after signing him they'll make another move at wide receiver, or you think they'll stay pat?
I would hope that they do, because obviously DeSean Jackson can only bring you so much, especially at the age 35. But I think if you were to target like some of these receivers, like I don't think the Panthers are moving on for DJ Moore. I don't think you can ask around for Mooney from the Bears. Maybe sniff around for Chase Claypool. Maybe. I don't know. We were talking about Kenny Golladay earlier, but ain't nobody touching that contract.
Kenny's untradeable at this point.
I think you said two snaps for the season, or
two receptions
for a four-year,
$184 million deal.
Yeah.
Didn't the Giants just clean their front office? I think so, right? Or, I don't know. I feel like they just hired. Like, I see why they cleaned it.
I believe that whoever gave that contract to Kenny Golladay needs to be fired out of there.
So. But yeah, I think. I mean, I think they should make another move at wide receiver
for sure.
But knowing John Harbaugh and that Ravens front office, they're not. They don't really value the wide receiver position that much, which
is very strange to me.
I don't see why. So
honestly, if I'm picking up the phone, I'm making a call. I'm like, hey, then like any of these Jets receivers, I'm asking about since they're all. Trades.
Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of receivers right now who are like being talked about on the market. So when the market, when there's more on the market, the price should theoretically then be lower a little bit because there's so much, you have so many different shopping points you can go to. Like we said, with you can go DJ Moore, you can go with, I'm not blanking on, Chase Claypool. Go there. There's Sims with like the Jets.
Right.
Yeah. Which obviously is not as good as the other two, but still, there's a lot of receivers on the market right now for them to talk to.
But what I really think is going to end up happening, it's a bold take, I really think they're going to sign Odell when he gets back. It's either going to be, I don't think he's going to the Chiefs. I think it's either going to be the Ravens. I don't think he's going to go to the Rams. So, I think it's
the Chiefs.
I saw a report earlier today. I'm 90% sure it's not true. But there's also like, because it's not credible, no credible sources, but I'm thinking about it. And there has been some rumors. When he is healthy, he's going to sign with the Bills. I could see that happening. You know, him and Von Miller have been talking.
Okay, that I can see.
So
I think
the ring is definitely very important to Odell right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is like the top thing on his list.
My final list would probably be, like you said, if I had to rank them, that's a good point. It would probably be Bills and then Ravens. Well, I think they're neck and neck. I really just think that'd be a sick combination.
I definitely would like to see Odell on the Ravens the most, just because they have such little other wide receivers.
Exactly,
you get to Odell do the most there.
But also at the same time, I don't know at this point in his career if that's the best thing.
Actually, you know who I really want to see him on? The Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
Seems just too bad.
It is too bad.
He's not even going to consider them.
I feel like just the location alone, he's just like, no. I feel like Odell's not a cold after being Cleveland.
But he's going to go to Buffalo.
I mean, that's a good point.
But
I
if you go to Buffalo,
you're winning Buffalo.
You know? I feel like you're more willing to take that game. So unfortunately, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back with 90.7 The Capstone. This has been the Student Section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We are back with 9.7, the Student Section. My name is Brady. We got Connor and Dylan here. And the NFL trade deadline is heavily approaching. We had some trades come in earlier this week. So let's digest some of the ones that are coming. The first one, the Chiefs make a move for some help at wide receiver. They bring Kadarius Toney, and the Giants give up a conditional third-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Who do we think won this trade?
So it's actually like, I think it's a win-win because Kadarius Toney wasn't even playing. So the Giants weren't really like losing anything like that. They gained a third and a sixth. So it's like that's a good thing. The Chiefs got much needed help with Kadarius Toney, which I think they can like turn into a gadget / Tyreek Hill type of player. Not saying he's going to be Tyreek Hill, of course, but I think it's win-win on both sides. And Kadarius Toney came out saying that he was never really hurt. They just didn't play him. So I really do think it's a win-win. Kadarius Toney's going to be amazing for the Chiefs, and the Giants just got more picks.
I think I'm actually going to take the other side of this. I actually think this is just a Chiefs win all the way. I mean, you get a first-round talent for a third and a sixth. The Giants, you drafted Kadarius Toney in the first round last year. You wanted – or was it last year or 2 years ago?
This is the second year.
Two years ago. They drafted the first-round pick from 2 years ago. You wanted Devontae Smith, but, you know, unfortunately...
Yes, sir, the Eagles, baby.
Snuck in there, got him for you. And then you guys... Then you take Kadarius Toney. We know that he's got the talent. We know that he's got the speed. We know that this guy can absolutely fly when he gets going. But that's the thing we talked about, like, a little bit earlier in the season. I think he had that famous quote... before Brian Daboll got there, Daboll, I'm sorry, I said that.
Daboll. <so. laughs> Daboll.
Before he got there, he was like, why have a Lamborghini but don't drive it? And ever since then, he's been like, listed as injured.
Yeah.
But he, there's been reports that he wasn't really injured, and they were just saying that until they could figure out something to do with him. And I think they never could find something that ended up working out for the both of them, which is surprising because they need like wide receiver help.
Yeah.
The only good like confident wide receiver that Daniel Jones has right now is probably the rookie Wandale
Robinson.
Thank you.
Yes. Out of Kentucky.
It's the W that throws me off. It's like it's not Rondale. It's like Wandale, right?
Yes, Wandale.
Okay, Wandale Robinson. Excuse me. But yeah, I just think I think the Chiefs win this trade. I mean, you only give up a 3rd and 6. You get a you can make a case that he's probably the best receiver on that team. I'd still probably give it to Juju, but I mean, in terms of getting point A to point B, that's a huge, especially for a guy like Patrick Mahomes, that's huge. That's all I'm gonna say.
I feel like the fact that the trade needed to happen is like an L on the Giants' part.
That is true, but I think
The talent that Kadarius Toney has, they really should have done a better job at trying to find a way to make that work. This team last year was kind of like they should have found a way to make that work. For one, this year the Giants, their second leading receiver is Saquon Barkley, and he is 11 yards behind their leading receiver. So there's obviously like a problem at receiver.
Yeah,
and the fact that they traded him away, while it is because he wasn't playing, they got good value for what there was. That is good for the Giants, but the Giants still need a wide receiver.
That is, yeah.
They got Kenny Galladay.
I was going to say, but I think this is leading up to another trade. There has been reports that they have strong interest in Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. So I do think they will make another trade before the trade deadline on Tuesday.
I hope they do, because mainly because they have to figure out what they're going to do with Daniel Jones.
That's what I was about to say. They owe Daniel, because like their owner came out saying we have to do better by Daniel Jones, and they have. They've gone the right step. They got a good coach. They have a good culture now. I think now it's just like, hey, You guys are like 6-1. You guys are winning, but you still have no passing game like right now. Mm-hmm. So if they can, you have to get Daniel Jones to see if he is that franchise quarterback before they give him. I think he's coming off his 5th year option, or they want to extend him his 5th year option. I'm gonna Google that real quick. But before you extend him or decide you want to make him the guy, because you know this is the upcoming draft that's loaded with quarterback prospects. I just think you have to get him a weapon to 100% know if he can. If having additional weapon will get him to that next step.
That's what I was going to say.
Because you're already 6-1.
Right now, I don't want to say that Daniel Jones... Well, they are winning. Daniel Jones has not exactly played like at an insane caliber.
Yeah, right now.
He's definitely shown that he can move the ball well with his legs. He's shown that ability. But the passing ability, it's definitely not... It's not quite there. And the problem definitely could be the receiver. And in order to figure that out, you need to bring in a receiver for him.
Like A.J. Brown for the Eagles. You see, like, obviously what that move did for him.
Stephon Diggs to the Bills.
That's a great
idea. Like, yeah. I mean, Josh Allen definitely looked better than Daniel Jones does now. But they brought in Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen absolutely exploded.
Well, okay. We are saying Daniel Jones, y'all are saying Daniel Jones hasn't had a great season so far. But if we look at it, Daniel Jones has had 3 game-winning drives so far this season. This was 2 weeks ago. No NFL QB has had more. So I think we do have to give some credit to Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So I do
There's
think...
There's definitely credit. I mean, they're winning. So we have
That's the whole thing. Like, when the quarterback's winning, you know, they have to be good.
Yeah. And then, like, he's not, like, a lot of people saying he's... He's not turning the ball over as nearly as much. That's like one of the bigger reasons too.
I think the reason
2 picks on the season. Yeah. So that's like that alone is a big step up.
It's not Daniel Jones is playing great. It's Daniel Jones is not playing terrible, which is why they're winning, I think. So I think because he's able to not turn the ball over as much and he's being more efficient, I think they are having better opportunities at scoring, and it's honestly working so far this season with a 6-1 start. So
and I think Brian Daboll has real thing.
There you go.
I took my time with that one, but I think he's installing a lot of confidence in Daniel Jones. I really do.
I just think that sooner rather than later, you need to figure out what is the cap that Daniel Jones can make your team succeed.
Like the ceiling.
The ceiling. That's a better word. What is the ceiling that Daniel Jones quarterback team can have? Because if after the season you want to extend him, then you need to figure out, can this guy actually help us compete in the playoffs? Because if Daniel Jones isn't that guy to compete in the playoffs, then it's kind of hard to like defend extending him in this offseason. Obviously, this Giants team, which is often which has been off to a very hot start, like needs to kind of figure out, hey, is the problem the quarterback? And if so, how can we address that?
I do agree. I think Daniel Jones, it's hard to judge Daniel Jones right now only because their talent at wide receiver is so poor.
Yeah.
So I don't know just yet, but I think time is coming for a decision. So it's closing in.
Bring Odell back to the Giants. Bring him home. Bring him back.
The guy I'd like to see DJ Moore there. That's the guy I think that pair up would – I think it would be telling. DJ Moore has never played with a good quarterback.
That's
Daniel
true.
Jones has never really played with a good wide receiver. So if we kind of pair those up, I think it'd be kind of cool to see like if they could work, make it work.
And I want DJ – I think DJ Moore is one of the most underrated receivers in
for
the league.
For sure.
I think but honestly, if I'm the Carolina Panthers, I'm holding on to Brian Burns and I'm holding on to your young cores like DJ Moore because if they do terrible and they draft the quarterback, you already have your top option for your quarterback. You don't have to like go in a couple more years rebuilding, looking for that guy as a receiver. But yeah.
So speaking of these NFC East trades, let's move on to the next trade. The Eagles made a big splash trading for All-Pro pass rusher Robert Quinn, and they only gave up a fourth. And the Bears kept that salary. Who do you think won this trade, Brady?
I mean, I feel like it's the Eagles.
Of course.
I feel like it's the Eagles.
I feel like it was a trick question. We all knew the answer to that.
It wasn't much of a question. Like, I mean, the Bears obviously aren't going anywhere this season. Robert Quinn was not a part of their long-term like timeline for going back to being like a good football team. So I feel like it was a move that it kind of made sense for them, I would say, to make. But the Eagles are getting more of that value now, making this move, because they obviously think that they can win the Super Bowl this year, and this is a move that definitely pushes that pin closer
yeah.
to being a champion.
And I just want to go on the record. It's not like he'll probably ever hear this, but Howie Roseman, if you're listening, I owe you an apology as an Eagles fan.
1,000%. I was calling for your fire a couple years ago.
It's so funny, because a couple years ago, you're like, oh my God, please fire Howie Roseman. He's like one of the worst. I'm not going to say he was one of the worst GMs, because in terms of always trying to create something and reworking the cap and always trying to work on moves. But his scouting has really been the biggest issue. But I mean, oh my God, like what he's done so far this offseason, coming in like over the past couple of years, adding weapons with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, like just
Goddard.
I've heard both. I go back and forth.
I've never heard as both Eagles, ways.
I've never heard Goddard.
I've never
really?
Heard that never.
Maybe I just no. messed up. I swear to you, I've never heard it said like that.
It's like, no.
I've heard it like said like that, and I've also heard, like, you know how I also say this is I'm getting a little bit sidetracked, but I always say Deshaun Watson. It's Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Never heard Deshaun.
Never heard Deshaun.
I get a lot of hate for this. I'm not, as you should,
but keep going.
Yeah, anyway. So I got so distracted right there. Anyway, my point being is this is just a huge move for the Eagles. Robert Quinn, I know you lost Derek Barnett to an ACL injury. I was going to say energy. I'm so messed up right now. bringing in Robert Quinn, having him come in, come off the edge. The rich gets richer here. I mean, that's really all you can say. And that fourth round pick, it's not like they had an extra fourth round pick to give away. I mean, that's one of the things that Howie's he's gotten extra picks over the years, and I think this is one of the extra picks he had. And the crazy part is he's probably not done making moves. He's Hassan Reddick, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I cannot talk. I know. It's all these names. Oh my God. That's pretty much the point. James Bradbury too. Just a lot of more weapons, and he's not done. I think he's going to try to clean up that second safety spot. Huge pickup, especially having the Bears pay a salary.
They're definitely going all in this. Like, the Eagles are in the front office has full confidence that this team can win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. So I mean, I see a lot of people discrediting this Robert Quinn trade. They're like, oh, he's only had one sack this season. And last year, you look at, he had 18 and a half sacks, and then you had Khalil Mack. Yeah,
18 and a lot of sacks.
But last year,
led the league.
Last year they had I think T.J. Watt had more.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Robert Quinn, he had 18 and a half sacks last season with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks on that D line with them. So he was getting a lot of one on ones. So you look at this year, they lose Akeem Hicks. They lose Khalil Mack. Where do all the double teams go to? They go to Robert Quinn. So he's not having that standout year as people think he should have. So people are like, oh, he's not doing much.
He's washed.
But you look at what he's going to bring to this D-line. You got Hassan Reddick. You got Brandon Graham. You got Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave. They lose Derek Barnett. So I'm thinking Robert Quinn's a big upgrade over Derek Barnett.
Oh, 100%. You know you're not getting those penalties either.
Yeah, of course. But and then you look at this trade, a fourth-round pick for Robert Quinn. Man, a fourth-round pick for a guy who they both agreed, no more contract. It's just one season. But then you go, you dive deeper. The Bears are still going to pay the bulk of that contract. So it's really not even a big cap hit for the Eagles. That's a great trade. I love it. Oh, my goodness. The Eagles are winners.
And not only just his production on the field, but you could just see, like, Roquan Smith, who is one of the captains for the Bears on defense, he just started breaking down crying after he found out the news that Robert Quinn got traded. So that just lets you know how much of a character he is inside that locker room and how much of a veteran leadership he'll bring over to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Which every Super Bowl-contending team wants to bring in that veteran leadership in like the middle of the season. Like the Rams last year, that's all they did was bring in veterans. Obviously, they're paying the price for that this year, but they won them a Super Bowl.
And usually when you look back at these Super Bowl teams, there's always a late addition in the season of a vet that always puts them over the edge. And maybe this could be it. Look, I mean, you look at the Chiefs, they added Terrell Suggs.
Last year, Rams added Von Miller. So
exactly. The Von Miller addition last year was a big one for the Rams going to the playoffs.
Right. And then, so who knows?
Yeah, just to finish things off with the Eagles, we are still hearing reports. Desmond King is apparently the Eagles are very interested in him, so I think there's rumors that we will fortify that safety position and that punt returner, but there's also reports we're looking for a running back, so maybe Kareem Hunt. There's been some reports for Alvin Kamara, but I think it's been shut down, so I'm just excited to see because it sounds like Howie Roseman is not done dealing.
Alvin Kamara is subtweeting a lot of interesting stuff right now.
I think it's just because there's a lot of rumors going around.
Oh, yeah, no, it's exactly. So that's why I just – but, you know, something to keep your eyes on.
I was an athlete too and I was, like, involved in, like, a bunch of rumors, I would also kind of mess with people on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'd like random tweets just to kind of, like, see what people say to it. So I never would read in too much into the Twitter.
Yeah. It's hard to. But.
And then so the last trade that happened before – our show today, James Robinson was traded from the Jaguars to the Jets. The Jaguars received a 6th-round pick. It becomes a 5th-round pick if he rushes for 260 yards on the season, which the Jets are probably hoping he does, considering I would assume Robinson's going to be kind of stepping into that main running back role with Breece Hall being injured.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, too. And like, it pains me to say this because I picked Breece Hall as my offensive rookie of the year.
I did too.
Damian Pierce is looking like that sad guy.
I think I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker now. I think it's going to be Kenneth Walker. I think what the Seahawks are doing.
Kenneth Walker did kind of explode this weekend.
Exactly. Yeah.
My fantasy team very much so appreciate Kenneth Walker.
Oh my God, what a save. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. I think this is a huge for the Jets. I mean, now you have James Robinson. You know what he can bring. He's like just a big body. Gets tough physical. They're down back, so probably use him. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see.
The Jets are kind of a weird team to read, I feel like. Like how good they are just because their record is... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an impressive record so far. But then also, the Patriots are favored this week against the Jets
for some reason.
So it's kind of confusing. It's the Jets have a home, it's a home game and the Patriots are favored.
Yeah.
I
was going to stick to winners. I think the Jets, I think they really pulled this one off sweep because Breece Hall gets injured, you're looking, oh no more running backs. Well, all they had to trade was a sixth round pick that could become a fifth round pick for one of the top backs in the league who I think is severely underrated. He was undrafted as a rookie, then had a 1,000-yard season. He's
Urban Meyer year. I think the Urban Meyer year really messed with James Robinson a little bit.
Oh, it did. 100%. It did.
But, yeah, so, like, he's putting up all these crazy numbers, and they draft Travis Etienne. And Travis Etienne, I think, is starting to get more carries than James Robinson right now.
Yep.
But it's like he's still a great back, and I just don't see how they were able to get James Robinson for a 6th-round pick. It's ridiculous.
I really think that the Urban Meyer year like totally messed with James Robinson, and like that's kind of the reason why he regressed. So I think the Urban Meyer year with the Jaguars in general is like one of like the worst like coached teams like ever.
It was horrible.
It was like so. It was. I don't think people realize like how bad it really was.
There's no doubt in my mind that there's probably going to be a 30 for 30 on that year, and just what happened.
I would absolutely love to watch a 30 for 30 talking about how abysmal Urban Meyer was for that team, and like they just get interviews with like Trevor Lawrence, like talking about the experience would be so entertaining.
What I'm really excited about is, speaking of a documentary and Urban Meyer, there's going to be a new documentary about them Florida Gators with Aaron Hernandez, Urban Meyer, the Pouncey brothers, a lot more criminals, all led by the pastor Tim Tebow. So I'm really excited about that one.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going
to
be interesting.
So we do have to take a break. This has been 90.7 The Student Section. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back with 90.7 The Student Section. My name is Brady. I'm joined here with Connor and Jalen. And it is time to get into our locks and upsets for the upcoming NFL slate of games. Connor, you want to go first?
Yeah, so my lock is going to be Bills over Packers. Aaron Rodgers is done for, toast, finito. So, yeah, they're going to be...
When you say done for toast, are you saying the career of Aaron Rodgers or this season?
This season. Yeah, this season. They have no weapons.
They're going to make a trade. I really think so.
They have nothing. I don't think they have anything to trade. So, I'm honestly no trust in Green Bay. Don't even think they make the playoffs in this week NFC. But that's my take. Bills over Packers. Upset... Commanders over Colts. I don't know if you can really call that an upset because they just benched Matt Ryan and Sam Ellinger is going to be playing, but I mean, they looked good last week, I think.
This is the first time I think in like ever you're going to see a team be like, okay, we're paying this guy a crap ton of money and we're not going to play him because it's just been that
bad. Sounds just like Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
Well, the thing with Russell Wilson, also, that's another thing. Apparently, like, have you heard that rumor that like that's like it's kind of like he's using that as a way out, like the injury as a way out, like he's not like really that hurt, he's just using it
Russell
as a
cop.
Yeah, I've heard that been floating around. I don't know that's how much true that is, but
yeah, no, I've never heard that. But I also did you guys hear about that whole high knees in the plane that's type so situation?
It's like he's trying to, like
it's like I feel like, so I don't know about anyone else, but like back on my high school team, there was always that like one kid who was like trying to be the leader, and it was like so obvious and like cringy that they were like had like gone onto like YouTube and like movies and like watched like what like the cliche thing leaders do.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm gonna do exactly that, and they go into practice and games and they do these things and everyone's just looking at them like, hey, that's like not what people actually do. That like that's not how you lead teams. Yeah, like at all. And it feels like that's exactly what he's doing, and everyone knows that like it's like so fake in a way.
It's apparently that's him being authentic, but I don't know.
It just feels fake.
Yeah, it feels so forced that it's actually doing the opposite. Like, you know, like
it feels like he's like, hey, everyone on this plane, watch me do these high, like watch me do this, and like look at me and see how like good of a leader I am and how I'm setting the example and intensity for this team.
Yeah, I think that whole mentality in Russell Wilson himself is a complete loser just because he does that. But I remember I was watching First Take the other day when it first came out, and I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Stephen A, but it was a guest at the time. And they were talking about if he was asleep on that plane and he was doing high knees next to me and he couldn't read the room, he would have tripped him. And I think I'm on the same boat as him because I hate people like
that. I liked the video of Justin Tucker on the plane last night. Making fun of it as well, saying Lamar Jackson was about to lead the team in some high knees.
I think that's I just also think it's funny when you have like KJ Hamler just coming out saying, yes, that story's 100% true.
It's
ridiculous. I just think it's funny. I have no words for him.
I think there's like a legit conversation for like that contract extension being like the worst contract in NFL history, which is like so strange to say considering everyone in the offseason was saying like how good of a trade this was for the Broncos. But like that contract, I feel like you could argue is going to become the worst contract in NFL history.
Yeah. Seahawks won that trade as of right now.
Oh, 1,000%. But it's funny because like, you know, when it's like rumors like that, when people are acting up and acting weird, it's like there's always an anonymous source who comes out and says, man, Russell Wilson, he did this on the plane or did that. He just straight up and said, yeah, I was doing high knees because I need to get this team ready. I need to do this. I'm like, bro. That's not a good look.
Wolverine blood.
You got to chill out.
It's that Wolverine blood. Just to quote him.
Russell Wilson, he just makes me so angry.
But for my locks and upset, I'm just going to, just to be quick with it, pretty much I'm going to go with my lock, the Cowboys over Bears. I don't think there needs to be much discussion about that. And then for my upset, I'm just going to go, well, it's not really an upset because the Panthers are favored, but I don't know. I just feel like the Panthers have a it's just interesting watching the Panthers offense now that they aren't forcing everything through Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
So PJ Walker, good for you, buddy. So I'm rolling with the PJ Walker train for this weekend. And plus, the Falcons have so many weapons, not so many weapons, but they have some weapons on offense, and I feel like they're not utilizing them to the fullest potential. So, I don't know. Just give me Panthers, and that's pretty much that's my locks.
My lock for the week, it's going to be the Falcons over the Panthers, which is kind of funny to say. I just think the Falcons have been playing underrated football so far this season. They've been in a lot of the games. That Bengals game, I think that while they did kind of get killed 35-17, Joe Burrow was kind of in that first half just like mm-hmm. making every single pass like perfectly. So watching that at a certain point, it was kind of like, well, what you gonna do? Joe Burrow's hot today, so this game is kind of just gonna be a loss. I like that. What I like about the Falcons is they're very committed to the run game,
yeah,
and they don't give up on it. I hate when a lot of teams, when they go down by one or two scores early, they kind of just ditch the run game and immediately just go to pass. I like that the Falcons are kind of loyal to that, and they know that's their identity, and they keep to that even when they're down a score or two. So I think that they'll take this game against the Panthers. My upset, it's for some reason, I don't understand this. So the Patriots are favored against the Jets, and the Jets are home, and the Patriots got killed by the Bears. So I'm still going to say that my upset is technically the Patriots, because in my mind, they should not be favored in this game. But I think that the reason they'll win is because Mac Jones is hopefully finally healthy. I don't know why they put him in against the Bears. I really don't, because he's still not 100% from that ankle sprain. He goes in, he makes one mistake, and you could argue that it was a better play on the defensive player than on him, a very athletic play, and then they just bench him. And it feels like that's a very bad look for the Patriots to just bench him, because then it makes this controversy for the whole week where the Patriots are being asked, hey, is Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones your starting quarterback?
One of the strangest moves I've seen since the Patriots, since like the whole Malcolm Butler being set in like the Super Bowl. It's very strange.
It's very strange to me. It feels like you should have just gone with Bailey Zappe, because if you're going to bench Mac Jones after one mistake, like what's the point of starting him at that point? Like you might as well just put Zappe in.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
So yeah, the Patriots are going to be my upset for the week.
Okay, that's surprising after getting killed by the Bears. And
after them being my lock last week to beat the Bears, I'm hoping they turn around. I hope a healthy Mac Jones is enough for that team to turn around.
I'm still high on Justin Fields. We don't have to get into that. I'm just going to keep I'm going to keep saying that for the rest of my life.
Watching him torch the Patriots, it's kind of hard for me to say he still has no potential forward.
That's all I need to hear.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But getting into the NBA news, transitioning a little bit, what are you guys like paying attention to? Anything you guys on your mind?
I have one thing that I want to say, and I think most people will agree with me. Doc Rivers might be one of the worst coaches in the NBA right now. He makes no adjustments, and he does not hold practices. And it's making this team look terrible when they, I think, have a pretty good roster. There's been one, I saw this. George Niang was on a podcast or something, and he mentioned how he dislikes how Doc Rivers doesn't hold many practices or like intense practice or whatever. And I feel like that's holding them back, because you look at their games, it's a lot of ISO ball. They don't look ready to play. Oh, this team is making me really upset.
I just want to point out to the audience that Connor is a Sixers fan, and I wish you guys could see his face as he talks about this, because he looks like he's about to go to court right now.
It's such a bad man. All right, let's. But besides that, I really do think the season's been really, really exciting. Besides the Lakers.
I've had a lot of fun watching basketball so far this season.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, no, it's been. I'm a huge fan. I'm actually glad we have more than one thing, especially on Thursdays after these Thursday night games. At least I can watch some NBA basketball and catch a good game. But not to slight the NFL or anything, but I will say the add on to your point, I 100% agree with you what you said about the Sixers. As a Sixers fan, this is something we've discussed for a while, like from Brett Brown and now to Doc Rivers. It just seems like there's always been a lack of adjustments, and Doc is just I don't know. there's a reason why everyone says he's a great coach, but there's a reason why he's been on so many different teams. He's not like a coach that you hold and like you hold on to for a reason. So that's my only point on that. But James Harden, he needs to learn how to move off the ball more. Joel just needs to get in shape. I think these guys just need to play together more. And to your credit, I think it starts with the practices. They need to have more intense practices and like more like game time situations. I think the only practices, at least from what I see, is just them putting up shots or just running some like high pick and roll or something like that. But one of the things I want to bring into attention is all the teams that we thought were going to be tanking for Victor. I'm not
Wembanyama.
Yes,
Wembanyama.
As I've made clear during this podcast, I can't say names. So just hang on there with me. But yeah, so the Spurs, we thought they were going to be pretty bad. They are balling right now. And
speaking of the Spurs, I don't want to cut you off, but they just released Josh Primo, which is a very surprising move. So
it's surprising because of how young he is. Like he's still 19.
And also 2 weeks ago, they just exercised his third year option.
And he was a lottery pick.
Yeah, I think lottery picks overall pick. Who are still in their teens don't normally get dropped by their team. And a team that's kind of tanking, it feels like a 19-year-old who had lottery talent is like the perfect kind of player you want on your team.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's a very strange move in my mind.
But it's worked out for them. It's even crazier. So
I think why the Spurs are doing well, one of the most underrated players in basketball, Devin Vassell.
Yeah. Okay.
Devin Vassell, he's a very good shooter.
Yeah.
And
he's coming into his own this year.
A lot of people had picked Kelvin Johnson to kind of be the breakout player, and Kelvin has been doing well. I think he's putting up like 21 points per game so far. Mm. But Devin Vassell, last year I remember in the play-in game, he shot like, I want to say it's like 6 for 8 from three. They lost the game, but I remember watching this I remember watching that game and I was like, who is this guy and why is he shooting the ball so well? And this season, he's definitely stepped it up. So far, he's shooting 41% from three on 8.3 attempts.
That's really good.
Those two things are there's percentage and there's volume. And when you put those two together and you have high volume and high percentage, that's like what you love to see from a shooter.
And I mean, just credit to them because, I mean, like, hey, I thought Popovich was like, this was going to be done. And
Popovich was coming out. I mean,
Just tanking, get these guys with the fundamentals, get them like, you know, have no expectations. But no, it's same thing as always. Spurs culture, just we're going to compete and play hard. And wherever the sticks land, we're going to roll with it.
Don't get me wrong. Any team that we expect to be bad and that comes out and has a hot season, they're going to fall off real quick.
So the Spurs are
Wizards.
They're the Wizards last year, I was going to say.
The Wizards
won like 8-3 just that season.
Oh, they're definitely going to come down, especially when like teams getting more scouting reports on them and everything. But, I mean, just to start the season, that's surprising. And I'm going to say the same thing with Utah. Utah traded all its assets mostly. I still think the way Jordan Clarkson's been balling, Malik Beasley, I still think they're going to trade those assets too because I think they're building up their value right now.
Yeah.
And then I think they're going to flip them. But for the most part, yeah, I just think that's super surprising. And then how about De'Aaron Fox just leading the league in like, I think he's either second in the league in scoring or first in the league in scoring. But that's been,
hasn't translated the wins yet for the Kings.
Yeah,
no,
it hasn't. It
probably won't ever. But,
no, it's because it's the Kings. But, I think the Kings are going to be play-in team this year.
No. I think that the Kings' offseason moves were heavily overrated. The Sabonis trade was not a good trade for them. Sabonis has not been effective for this year.
It usually takes a while to get going, though.
It's just I hate the slow power forward who can't really play defense and isn't athletic. Mm-hmm. It's just it doesn't fit in modern basketball. He can't switch very well. They don't really have a great center to play along the next side of him.
That's what I think is mostly the main issue is they don't have – that's always what I thought has been their issue. They don't have a good big for – especially someone for De'Aaron Fox can just pick and pop and pick and roll. And just
they haven't had a good big since DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
And DeMarcus Cousins, his numbers get stat pad a lot.
They do.
He gets overrated, I think, a little bit when looking back. Before we leave, I want to get out one hot take I have. If I was the Sixers, I honestly feel like I would rather have Seth Curry right now than James Harden from that trade.
No.
I feel like I would. And I'm saying that mainly because I think Tyrese Maxey is so good that Tyrese Maxey has to have the ball in his hands at all times. And bringing in James Harden, I feel like it's holding Tyrese Maxey back a lot. And playing those two alongside each other, I don't like it. I really don't like those two playing each other.
I think Doc needs to stack their minutes more like just sacking him, like James on the bench, Tyrese runs the offense and a little bit more like that. But James Harden, like the reason Tyrese Maxey is balling, it's probably because of James Harden. James Harden was a huge addition for everything for Tyrese Maxey, especially though they work out together.
Exactly.
This whole offseason, that's all they did. They just worked out with one another.
You look at
the step back that he's like picking up how to do, that looks so much cleaner. Just the small things too. It's like just reading the offense better, just like knowing like Tyrese Maxey has become a better passer too.
I mean, no, Tyrese Maxey is a great playmaker. Yeah.
Okay,
he's a great playmaker. He's a great shooter, and in my mind, he should be the primary ball handler on that team. I feel like James Harden is kind of holding Tyrese Maxey back a little bit.
I think it definitely what it needs to be is they need to. You alluded to this earlier, like how they need to run faster. Mm-hmm. I just think like when James and Embiid are out the court, like off the court, that's when you pick up the pace and you run fast, because that's the offense you need to be running for Tyrese Maxey.
He loves to run in transition.
He's the best full court like coast
finisher
to coast.
Finishing at the rim in transition. Tyrese Maxey is insane, the stuff he can do around the
rim.
I think he's the
best. So like what you were saying, James Harden, whatever, with Seth Curry. Okay, Seth Curry, yes, a better shooter, better off the ball player, but you bring in James Harden for Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey was an up and coming guard.
Mm-hmm.
You learn under James Harden. You learn how to like work your way through the league. Like
I'm sure
draw
there's
the
like
contact,
invaluable
pass
stuff
the balls.
That like I'm like that obviously went behind scenes that have helped Tyrese Maxey be better. I'm just saying like right now with like the player Tyrese Maxey is.
It's just
I feel like I would rather have shooters around Maxey than than force the ball into James Harden's hand and not let Maxey have.
I think that's more Doc Rivers than anybody.
I do too.
But I don't think James Harden is like able to play off ball. Like
he can. He's too great not to. He's just got to learn how to, which is a learning curve. I think he can definitely do it because he's too great. But I will say, if we're talking about the playoffs, there's no. I can't play Seth Curry like.
Seth Curry's defense is just
like
I would say it's like the same low defense as James Harden.
No, I think James Harden.
When James Harden is actually trying and actually wants to get down and dirty, it's surprising. He doesn't do it a lot, but he can do it.
He doesn't do it.
He picks and chooses his spots. No, there's times like you go back and look at like when he locks down Giannis. Remember when him and Giannis were having that beef?
I know there's like some videos where it's like a possession James Harden goes out there and plays defense, but like over the course of a game, he's a negative defender. Like it's just the way it is.
It's because they have him doing so much on offense, which is also what we were like we were saying, like they need to switch it over and going through Embiid and Tyrese Maxey first, in my opinion. But I think James Harden.
I just think going back to that James Harden trade, if I could take it back from the Sixers, I would have looked to bring in a different player than James Harden.
I mean,
I just think the fit with the team.
Do you think you'd be better with Ben Simmons right now?
I don't think they'd be better with Ben Simmons on that team. I just think that they should have found a better player that could play alongside Embiid, that would let the offense could play off ball next to Tyrese Maxey as well.
I just don't think there's a player, except the only player I could really see that was available at that time, or like you could possibly make a move for, which I don't think still would have happened. It would be Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal. But
there were those two. Honestly, I would have made the trade for Damian Lillard. I think he was available at the time.
Injured.
And trade Max. I mean, I would have taken an injured Lillard going into this season.
It's too risky. I think it's too risky.
He's already hurt again.
And
so.
Like, it's just like it's like. And it's not, and we're not talking about like a small injury. He broke his ribs, and like, and then plus, I think there's another injury too. So I just think it's too risky. And I don't know. I'm just glad we don't have Ben Simmons. You just see what he's doing over there. Airball to layup. So
Simmons definitely, I don't think, is going to be on that team for the whole season, is my take on the Nets. I think he's going to get moved eventually.
Yeah. I think it's either going to be that or they're going to wait to trade him. But we'll see.
All right, so we do have to call a night here. This has been 90.7 The Student Section. We hope you all have a great Friday night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.